After the cataclysm, post-war Indochina and the reconstruction of imperialist ideology. It's the second volume of Noam Chomsky and Edward Herman's 1979 media study, The Political Economy of Human Rights, and is largely a rejoinder to genocide charges against the Pol Pot regime. If there was no genocide in Khmer Rouge, Cambodia, as Chomsky and Herman argue in Political Economy, the American media would have invented one, according to the media critics. Chomsky and Herman claim to study a commodification of rights in the news media. Such an economy presupposes an ascription of some value to the commodities exchanged within it. In the gradient of abuses, economic rights are commonly assumed to be secondary to non-derogable rights, such as those to security and life. However, the derogation of these rights, according to what Chomsky and Herman call their propaganda model, is not only secondary but largely irrelevant to news coverage. Pol Pot's Cambodia, they say, was a case in point and was thrust into the media limelight to establish what the professors claim is the press's basic principle, that liberation by Marxists is the worst fate that can befall any people under Western domination. Pol Pot's Cambodia was a completely closed country. Almost all evidence on Cambodia in 1975 to 79 was anecdotal. Refugee protocols compiled by a handful of Cambodia specialists and reporters. If hundreds of journalists had covered the end of the Vietnam War, few returned to cover its aftermath. Two studies appeared in 1977, Cambodia Year Zero and Murder of a Gentle Land. Cambodia Year Zero was written by Francois Panchaud, a Khmer-speaking priest who also acted as a translator for John Barron and Anthony Paul, the authors of the Reader's Digest study, Murder of a Gentle Land. In contrast to Panchaud's study, Murder of a Gentle Land is devoid of normative analysis and offers only a stark, descriptive account of the destruction of the Cambodian people by the Pol Potists. And for this reason, Chomsky and Herman claim, it was a transparent propaganda exercise. If Cambodia, according to radical left development theory, was a model for economic development strategies for the Third World, Murder of a Gentle Land's authors saw only a reflection of the sadism of the country's leadership and the new social order under the Pol Potists. David Hawk, executive director in the late 70s of Amnesty International USA, says that the 1977 refugee studies respected recognized standards of documentation for human rights violations, and that the conclusions drawn by their authors that genocide was endemic in post-war Cambodia were entirely valid. Chomsky and Herman, however, found such reports unconvincing and strongly suspected that the CIA had suborned refugees to fabulate atrocity stories as part of a disinformation campaign to discredit the genocidist regime. According to the media critics, the impression that evidence from refugees was uniform and consistent was an artifact of media bias, and those who relied on and drew firm conclusions from it were grossly irresponsible. The singularity of Cambodian political economy of human rights owes to the radicalism of its leadership. Evidence indicating genocide in post-war Cambodia, according to Chomsky and Herman, was transparent, the result of what they call an orgy of falsification. Since the quality and quantity, or strength in behaviorist terms, of evidence for genocide was reputedly insufficient to provoke the response the professors say was elicited in the media, the media analysts are forced to look for an alternative explanation. By focusing on Cambodian terrorism, The media served important U.S. interests, the pair claim, by allowing strong ideological points to be scored against radicalism, socialism, egalitarianism, and third world nationalism. This supposed focus of the news media showed what Chomsky calls mass media serviceability, because it advanced the Western press's reputed liberal agenda, a task which the professor says Cambodia was particularly serviceable, because information on the country was not only sparse, but also dominated by reports of refugees. Ben Kiernan, a Khmer-speaking Australian undergraduate who had visited refugee camps in Thailand in 1975, was Chomsky and Herman's primary source on Cambodia. Kiernan's 1976 paper, Social Cohesion in Revolutionary Cambodia, was crucially significant to their analysis of the workings of the Western propaganda system in regard to Cambodia, and they say they know of no comparable analysis to his research. An array of reasons in political economy are offered by the media critics for this anomaly, but the real reason for its singularity is that its conclusions were wrong, and Kiernan retracted them shortly after Political Economy was published. Kiernan's findings were based in part on interviews in Bangkok and at camps along the Cambodian frontier. He claimed to have heard quite a range of refugee judgments on the nature of the Pol Pot regime. Kiernan now says he was disinclined to believe refugee accounts of terror and starvation, and to a large extent misjudged the Pol Pot regime's responsibility for these. He would learn in 1980, after the Vietnamese invasion of Cambodia, that the family of his wife, a Khmer national, had been massacred by the Khmer Rouge. The significance of Ben Kiernan's early work to political economy's authors is that it covered the period of what they considered the worst terror and provided little evidence that the Pol Pot government had planned and executed a large-scale purge. It also broke down the class background and region of refugee flow, relating such factors to the social and economic situation that had prevailed in Cambodia prior to the collapse of the U.S.-backed Lon Nol regime. Class contradictions in the Northwest, according to Kiernan's 1976 paper, being exceptionally sharp, and the settling of scores at the local level in a context of loose governmental authority having not been uncommon. Where the Khmer Rouge were better organized, as in one village of Sisophon in the Northwest, this persecution, according to Kiernan, was much less violent. However, among other actions organized at Sisophon, refugees report students from the lycées were killed en masse at Chahonur, and refugees at Arani Prathet, the main Thai holding center in 1976, believe most people detained in the region had been executed. A considerable number of the refugees at Arani Prathet had fled the zone, and it was a region where reports could be cross-referenced. Hundreds of thousands of Phnom Penhese had been deported there in September 1975, and processing was crude. Pagodas were changed into centers for screening anyone with over 7 years' education and served as political indoctrination centers. Probationers whose autobiographies were deemed suspect were transported to the provincial capital. Political re-education consisted of being attached by the feet to a central log, hands tied behind the back, in a crowded room, unable to move for weeks and starving. Political study sessions at the village level imparted that if a Khmer Rouge were killed, the entire village would be executed, though mass slayings following the initial wave in April to July 1975 slowed until after the harvest in early 1976. Sisuphon was the Khmer Rouge's power base in Battam Bang, and representatives from villages and former Republican enclaves in the province presented themselves there to surrender after the 1975 takeover. In Phnom Sirak, the chief of the district was ordered to make lists of previous military people and officials indicating their rank and responsibilities, including a list of all militia. And after all weapons were handed over, reprisals began. All officers and wives of military men in the defeated republic were massacred, and the population deported to Nam Tao, a district which had been completely destroyed during the war and had been occupied by the Khmer Rouge since 1974. Deportees were ordered to clear forest and settle. Undernourishment and physical exhaustion killed 6 to 7 people a day. At Phnom Sirak, tens of thousands of deportees from the cities began arriving. They were already sick from the conditions of a second deportation and perished in great numbers. Michael Vickery, Chomsky's chief source on demographic trends in Khmer Rouge, Cambodia, now estimates 80,000 people died in a second population displacement. Rations were reduced after 6 months to a few hundred grams of rice a day, and deportees subsisted on spoiled rice bran. In November and December of 1975, rations stopped. Deportees ate rats, insects, and earthworms. Many died. According to a high school teacher who had been at Sisuphon in April 1975, 40% of the 300 families in his village had disappeared after arrests by 1978. He was aware by seeing bodies that at least several of the disappeared had been killed. In a 1978 interview, Chomsky told the Washington Post Louis Simons that he did not believe reprisals and brutality in Pol Pot's Cambodia were the monolith reported by the media. The professor's principal source in the Post is Michael Vickery, who had taught in Cambodia's lycees in the 60s and claimed to have toured refugee camps in Thailand, reportedly interviewing large numbers of refugees. Like Kiernan, he claimed to have heard a wide range of judgments in the Cambodian regime. Simon's report in the Washington Post is a synopsis of Chomsky's basic argument against the news media's reporting on Cambodia. Simon's recounts that most information gathered in Southeast Asia about Cambodia came from refugees in Thailand. Almost all of these refugees had come from the Northwest, an area which Chomsky claimed was never well controlled by the Khmer Rouge. From this bare-bones intelligence gathering, Simon says, nationwide extrapolations were drawn, and it was from these projections that Western analysts concluded that Cambodia's leaders were genocidal monsters and tormented the once-gentle land had no parallel in history. These reprisals following the defeat of the Khmer Republic in the Northwest, Chomsky and Ehrman claim, became the kernel of truth they say was later served up as a genocide myth by the news media to the U.S. public. Chomsky also says in the Post that former U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger knew in 1973 that the U.S. could not win in Cambodia, but ordered the heavy bombing of the country to embitter the enemy and set the stage for the bloodbath thesis, which was being given credence in 1978. This bloodbath thesis, described in Political Economy as the thesis of central direction and planning of atrocities on the basis of alleged uniformity of refugee accounts, was untenable according to the media analysts, because refugee accounts were not uniform, but rather showed considerable variety, a claim that was contradicted by almost all refugee evidence collected on Pol Pot's Cambodia. Chomsky purports to arrive at his conclusions in political economy by asking whether the media accepted the government framework or whether it used the same agenda or set of criteria in reporting alleged atrocities by Pol Pot as any honest observer would do. American policy in Southeast Asia in 1975 to 78 was hostage to Chinese and Thai interests and had very little, if anything, to do with retroactively justifying past U.S. policy or impeding social and economic progress in Cambodia. Chomsky himself writes elsewhere that those capable of escaping what he calls the indoctrination system may recall that the chorus of protest over Khmer Rouge genocide reached its peak of outrage in early 1977, at a time when State Department intelligence, the only source with substantial information, according to the professor, estimated the toll at tens, if not hundreds of thousands. State Department sources, however, never claimed to possess substantial information on Cambodia. Charles Twining, the State Department's leading expert at the time, told a U.S. hearing on human rights in Cambodia that he had no information and that his information was inadequate on the human destruction occasioned since the Pol Pot takeover. Twining's superior, Richard Holbrooke, stated, State Department figures could be off by a factor of 2 or 10, adding that Twining, who was the best expert that exists, did not know. And if Chomsky claims in Political Economy that the worst terror in Cambodia had ended by 1977, the killing was relentless. Henry Kam in the New York Times in early 1977 estimated that hundreds of thousands were being methodically purged. The character of the killing is illustrated in Kam's account of events near Siem Reap in the north of the country in 1977. Kam reports that a refugee interviewed from the district of the province where former President Lon Nol was born said that to celebrate the second anniversary of their victory, the Khmer Rouge had killed the entire population of the former leader's village. The district chief, who was later killed himself, announced that the villagers had been slain because all were relatives of Lon Nol. Throughout the district, about 350 families had been killed on that occasion, their family names recorded by authorities and displayed at the anniversary rally. Such reports are derided as propaganda in Political Economy. Chomsky arrives at his conclusions regarding Pol Pot's Cambodia by misrepresenting sources and citing claims by the regime supporters, claims which were retracted but were repeated by the professor in his attacks on refugees and their advocates in the Western press. Chomsky says his conclusions in Political Economy regarding Cambodia are among the best supported in the social sciences. These same conclusions, however, led the professor in 1979 to oppose the Vietnamese invasion that ended starvation and slaughter under the Pol Pot regime, a position the professor has since changed. Chomsky's claims regarding Cambodia in the media and Political Economy would indeed be shocking if they were true. The wider implications of such a proven bias in the news media would also have important repercussions for all of American society and raise serious questions about the assumptions most of us share regarding the role of the press as an informational processing system in a democratic society. No system is without bias. However, Chomsky fails to demonstrate this in Political Economy's treatment of Cambodia and instead reveals his own bias, a bias which is as much a product of ideological blindness as the supposed news media deception he claims to expose.